We are very familiar with the shepherd imagery in the 23rd Psalm. Its opening lines are among the most famous and most beloved words in the Bible. We've probably all been to a funeral where the 23rd Psalm was read. But perhaps what we don't think about so much is that the imagery actually changes. The psalm ends with a different picture. It moves from a shepherd leading his flock to a host serving his guests. It moves from fields and valleys to a house and a table. It is our joy to have the Lord's Supper in our service today. This ordinance that we regularly administer involves us as God's people partaking of what the New Testament calls the Lord's table. The Apostle Paul refers to it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21. This table at the front here, furnished with these elements, is the Lord's table. This simple meal was instituted by the Lord, and it speaks of the Lord. It proclaims his death. To eat this bread and drink this cup is to commune with the Lord and to commune with those who are his. It's a time of fellowship, a time of remembrance, a time of thanksgiving, and a time of joy. Psalm 23 talks about the Lord's table. We see it in the second metaphor that David introduces. And this is what we're going to think about in our sermon this morning. Our text is verse 5. But I'd like to read the whole psalm, then we'll pray and ask for God's help as we receive his word. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And all God's people say, Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this precious portion of Scripture. And we ask now, as we meditate on just one verse, that you would warm our hearts, you would bless us, you would encourage us, and you would lead us all to the table that we are privileged to come to today. We commit ourselves into your care in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a very simple sermon today. I'm going to talk about four things we see in verse 5, and I'm going to connect them to the gospel, to the Christian life, and to the table we're going to partake of. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is something very obvious, and yet it is the most important thing. And that is, the Lord prepares the table. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me. The thou is the shepherd who David talks about in verses 1 to 4. And the shepherd is the Lord, Yahweh, the one true and living God, the eternal, self-existent, almighty creator of heaven and earth. He is the one who spoke to Moses from the burning bush. He is the one who spoke to Israel from the fiery cloud on Mount Sinai. God is the shepherd in this psalm. And we know that God entered into his creation in the person of Jesus Christ. We're about to spend a whole month remembering and celebrating that event, and I can't wait. I love Christmas because it's all about the incarnation. It's about this God, the God who spoke from the fire, the God who spoke everything into existence, becoming a man for us. And for our salvation. Now we, with New Testament eyes, recognize Jesus as the shepherd, the good shepherd. the shepherd and bishop of our souls, as the Apostle Peter puts it. The Lord Jesus is the shepherd, and Jesus sets the table. God prepares a table for us. Have you ever thought about that? It's really quite amazing. Shouldn't David be preparing a table for the Lord? Shouldn't we be running around serving him? Shouldn't we be getting a table ready for the king? I mean, he's God. He's the creator. We are the creature. He is deity and we are dust. And yet, he prepares a table for David. And he prepares a table for us. Lord, you prepare a table for me. That's remarkable. Now, these words that we know so well correct a misconception about Christianity that far too many have. They think it's about preparing a table for the Lord and hoping that you do a good enough job to make him happy, so that he will then forgive you and bless you and so forth. Or they think it's a joint effort. You know, you clean the house, you set the table, and hopefully he brings the food. But neither of these are true. These are the most diabolical of all the devil's lies. The Lord prepares the table. That's Christianity. That's the gospel. God, out of sheer love, serves us in the person of Jesus Christ. By his life, death and resurrection, Jesus has done the work. He has done all the running around. It is finished. He prepares the meal. In fact, he is the meal. He is the meal. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." In April 1518, Martin Luther participated in a disputation in the city of Heidelberg with the members of the Augustinian order to which he belonged. He prepared a series of theses for this disputation, really a series of propositions to be debated. This was number 26, I've put it in the outline. The law says, do this, and it is never done. Grace says, believe in this, and everything is already done. Isn't that beautiful? The law says, do this, and it is never done. Grace says, believe in this, and everything is already done. That's what we're talking about here. Grace. At the heart of Christianity is grace. God's undeserved favour and kindness that he freely bestows, supremely given in the person and work of his Son, Jesus. It's not about what we do for God, it's about what God has already done for us and simply receiving that by faith. We sit at the table and enjoy the meal. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Titus chapter 3 verse 4. Being justified, that is declared righteous, right with God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 3 verse 24. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. This is what the table down the front here speaks of. God's grace. God sending his Son and his Son doing for us what we could never do for ourselves. Now, Brother Steve set this table just before our service started this morning. But in truth, the Lord prepared the table. He provided the bread of life, the bread that gives everlasting life. He provided the cup, the blood of the new covenant, the blood that washes away our sins forever. The second thing I want you to see in verse 5 is that the welcome is warm. The welcome is warm. And not only does the Lord prepare the table, he anoints David's head with oil. I tried to think of a modern equivalent of this, but I couldn't really find one. We greet our guests with a handshake or a hug and a kiss. We might offer them a cool drink or a cup of tea, but we don't anoint them with oil. Welcome, there's some oil for your head. No. The closest custom I could think of was the hot towel that is given to passengers on international flights or sometimes in restaurants. It's used to clean and refresh your head and face. It's really quite pleasant. In the hot, dry climate of the Middle East, oil, and often scented oil, was used in the same way to cleanse and refresh and even to perfume. And it was more than a courtesy. It was a sign of welcome and honour. Let me share with you what a couple of commentators have written. This is from Adam Clark. A perfumed oil was poured on the heads of distinguished guests when at the feasts of great personages. The woman in the gospel who poured the box of ointment of spikenard on the head of our Lord only acted according to the custom of her own country, which the host who invited our Lord had shamefully neglected. And then this is from John Calvin. We know that in old time ointments were used at the more magnificent feasts, and no man thought he had honourably received his guests if he had not perfumed them therewith. Now, I've not experienced this, but I could imagine that it would be quite unpleasant. Now, someone invites you over for a meal, and you turn up at the front door, and it very quickly becomes apparent that they don't really want you there. Now, they're being hospitable, but begrudgingly so. The reception is stiff and cool, the courtesy is perfunctory, and you can tell that they want to get the whole thing over and done with as quickly as possible. That's not what David describes here. In fact, it's the exact opposite. The Lord delights to have David at his table. He welcomes David warmly. He honours David by anointing his head with sweet-smelling oil. There is nothing begrudging about the welcome that Jesus extends to us. He doesn't say, well, all right then, come in, sit down at the table, I've prepared this for you, so I suppose you better eat it. That's not his attitude at all. The Lord is pleased to see us. The Lord is pleased to serve us. He is pleased to save us from our sins and fill us with joy. There is a prophecy in the book of Zephaniah that speaks of Israel's restoration, and I'm not going to go through it this morning, but there is a verse that describes the Lord's attitude and the Lord's demeanour when he is with his people. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, he will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, he will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. Another translation puts it this way, he will quiet you by his love, he will exult over you with loud singing. It's not a lullaby. It's not a sweet melancholy song. It's more of a shout that the Hebrew denotes. It's loud singing. It's an expression of great joy over those he has saved. He rejoices over them. This is the Lord with his people. He welcomes them. He wants to be with them. The oil in this psalm is an expression of that. We see this in the Gospels, in the relationship that Jesus had with his disciples. John chapter 13 verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Then when Jesus instituted the supper we're going to partake of in a moment, he said this to his disciples, Luke chapter 22 verse 15, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. In other words, I earnestly desire to share this meal with you. I want to have fellowship with you. You are my friends. Now we know that Jesus didn't share the supper with his disciples, but he knew he would. He looked forward to that great day when he would drink new wine with them in his Father's kingdom. Yes, the welcome is warm. The Lord loves to have us come to the table that he has prepared. He delights in mercy. He delights in saving sinners. He delights in our fellowship. And he invites us to come to this table this morning and meet with him. He wants, as it were, to anoint our heads with oil once again. He wants to remind us of his love. Enjoy our fellowship. The third thing we learn about the Lord's table here is that enemies are all around, and yet there is peace. That's the picture in verse 5. The table is set. The welcome is warm. There is fellowship. And it's happening even as the enemies are surrounding David and trying to harass him. We know there were occasions when this was literally true for David. He had many enemies. He fought many battles. There were many times when he found himself in mortal danger. But even at those times, he experienced the Lord's presence, the Lord's protection, the Lord's provision. He experienced heavenly peace. I love what Spurgeon has written on this point. The quote is in the outline. "Thou preparest a table, just as a servant does when she unfolds the damask cloth and displays the ornaments of the feast on an ordinary peaceful occasion. Nothing is hurried. There is no confusion, no disturbance. The enemy is at the door, and yet God prepares a table. And the Christian sits down and eats as if everything were in perfect peace." I was thinking about how this can't be a picture of heaven. Because when we sit down at Christ's table in heaven, there will be no enemies. Praise the Lord. The enemies within and the enemies without will be gone. The world, the flesh and the devil will be banished, no longer a threat. And this is a picture of the here and now. And just like David did, we have enemies. The greatest of which is our own fallen humanity, indwelling sin, our flesh. It wars against us. It robs us of our peace and our joy. It makes this life so hard. Often it makes us miserable. And then, of course, there are the enemies without. Satan and the unregenerate world that lies in his power. The world that hated Jesus and so hates all those who belong to him. But here's the blessing. This is what Spurgeon was talking about. Even in the presence of our enemies, we can experience peace and joy. We can find rest for our souls. And it comes as we meet with Christ. There is a table and a welcome and a meal and a word always. All around, our enemies are raging, and often the enemies within are raging too. Our flesh comes at us so hard. Maybe you've sensed it this week. Our desires for that which God hates are often so strong. The battle is bruising and it's tiring, and we fail and we fall. But Christ is always there, offering us peace and security and strength and assurance and love. This is our birthright under and by the gospel. And the table here at the front is a tangible example of what David was talking about. It is set for us in the presence of our enemies. We're still in the world. We're still walking around in our fallen humanity. Most days it's not easy. But here we can come as fellow pilgrims, as brothers and sisters, and find respite and comfort as we meet with our Lord and remember what he accomplished for us. The Lord prepares the table. The welcome is warm. Enemies are all around, and yet there is peace. And then finally, David tells us that the host is generous. The host is generous. "Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." It's funny how imagery operates sometimes. We've all sat at the dinner table and watched our children pour themselves a drink, and we've watched the cup get fuller and fuller and fuller, and what do we say? Well, that's enough. Don't fill it too much. And there are those cheeky kids who will try to fill the cup up as much as they possibly can without it spilling. And mum and dad roll their eyes. I think we know the image here is not a picture of annoyance, but a picture of abundance. The table has been bountifully furnished with food and drink. There are many good things to enjoy. The host isn't miserly. The host is generous. We forget that sometimes, I think. And we focus on the struggle. We focus on how hard it is to follow Christ. Our attitude is one of grim determination, and we forget about the blessings. We fail to remember the table prepared for us, the gifts of God, the lavish grace that is ours in Christ, the fruit of the Spirit, the blessings of fellowship, the privilege of prayer, the sweetness of God's word, real purpose, real hope, and heaven that's not really that far away. I think we also recognize the imagery of the cup. It flows from the Old Testament into the New. There is the cup of salvation, Psalm 116, verse 13. The cup of blessing, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. It's the cup that Jesus blessed when he instituted this supper. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. And as David says here, it's overflowing. The cup the Lord gives to me that becomes my cup, it is full to the brim. And then some more. There is full salvation. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. There is abundant blessing in the gospel, more than we can comprehend. Jesus is not a stingy host. Jesus is not a stingy savior. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. The table before us this morning speaks of a generous God. It speaks of a gift. It speaks of a sacrifice without price. And with this gift comes more gifts, gifts upon gifts. Paul talks about the exceeding riches of his grace. Salvation through the work of Jesus isn't just remission of sins. It's an abundant life. It's the life we were created for. And when we come to this table in just a moment and partake of the bread and the cup, there is a sense in which we really can taste and see that the Lord is good. That's what is signified. His goodness, his generosity, the sweetness of salvation, the sweetness of life in Christ and life with Christ. So, there is a table prepared for you if you know Christ as Saviour, if you're trusting in him and him alone. He invites you to come and experience the warmth of his welcome and the joy of his fellowship. He invites you to come and find an oasis of peace in the midst of a hostile world. The table is ready, so let's come and meet with him. Amen.